Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Chicago's Afternoon News, 720 WGN. Kevin Powell is here. Mary's checking weather and traffic. Lauren Lapka is in the newsroom. Steve Bertrand is on vacation. On the phone is former Chicago Public Schools CEO Paul Vallis. He has decided he wants to be mayor of Chicago. Welcome to Chicago's Afternoon News. Paul, I'll tell you, every person I speak to that wants this job, I say, why? Why would you want this job?
It's tough. My wife said the same thing, and my 93-year-old mother said, if I don't run, I'll get my inheritance early. Of course, I reminded her that I don't have any inheritance coming, but she still made the promise. I was born and raised in the city, and the city's in crisis. Crime is rampant and growing. We're in a crime epidemic. The schools are deteriorating. We've lost enrollment for 18 consecutive years. We're spending more money per pupil than ever before, yet the exodus continues. And of course, we're in this like tax and waste cycle that we call a budget process. And as the city becomes less and less affordable. And I think my skills, running large school districts, being the city's budget director during a time of severe financial crisis back in the 90s, the various major turnaround projects that I've taken on nationally, I think my talents are well suited to address these three issues, which is public safety, providing quality school choices, and getting a handle on city finances.
I know that you've said there is a danger if Mayor Lightfoot is reelected, but 3 years ago you ran for mayor, you came in ninth place, you've done your polling, you know you've got a good shot at this, and when I spoke with John Williams about this, I said, what makes him think if he came in ninth that he's going to do better now? And somebody shot a text into our text line right away and said, when Paul ran against Lightfoot, Lightfoot didn't have a job that she could be directly scrutinized as being the mayor. She had no history of being mayor. Do you think that is going to help you in this run?
Well, yeah, every campaign, every election cycle has a different dynamic. And I think the issues lend themselves to the voters wanting somebody who has experience, straightening out the city finances in the 90s, putting a record number of police officers on the street that helped turn the tide. If you remember when I became city budget director, murders were at their peak, 947 murders, like 6-7 years later, that murder rate had been cut by more than 60% because we worked with the police to provide them with the resources and support they needed to be effective. I took over the Chicago public schools. We're on the verge of bankruptcy and at the time turned the schools into a model for the nation. I rebuilt schools in New Orleans after Katrina. I have been doing crisis management all my life, and I think those skills are tailor-made for a mayor being able to hit the ground running from day one. So I think that's the reason I'm running, and I'm running because I think I can bring the talent and experience needed to get the job done.
This is Paul Vallis on Chicago's Afternoon News. I know that your wife was a cop. You know the life of a police officer. I think you've got a son who's a police officer, another who's a firefighter. So you have said that your first job will be to fire Superintendent David Brown. Now, since 2011, we've had three interim police superintendents. And, of course, their stints are short. They're basically just filling the seat until the next person comes in. How does real change happen if we don't make an immediate change that sticks? I mean, that's another job not many people want. There's not a lot of glory in the job. You really can't win. You last 5 years tops and you're out the door. So how do you get in and you get that change made without putting somebody in there as a seat holder for a year?
Well, let me point out that when I was the city budget director, the mayor promoted Terry Hilliard to be superintendent from within the district, and Chuck Ramsey was his first deputy. And those were individuals within the police department, and they were extraordinary. Ramsey went on to become police superintendent in Washington, D.C. and in Philadelphia. Hillary had actually returned for a second tour as police superintendent. So the bottom line is you need to replace this leadership team. They're incompetent, and they have lost the confidence of the rank and file. When you have 1,500 police officers exit the police department in the last 18 months, and CPD can only attract about 200 new officers, that's a police department in meltdown. So officers are voting with their feet. So you've got to make the leadership changes, and I would make those changes and promote the next generation of leadership from within. And then I would do two other things. I would go back to interim superintendent Beck's strategy of community-based policing to basically put officers in the communities on the local beat. So every local beat is covered. Officers who know the communities, community knows the officers who are basically there to protect them. That can certainly help with a lot of the crime problem solving. And the third thing I would do is restore proactive policing. And I'm not talking about unsupervised policing or policing without accountability, but when you've had a 70% reduction in arrests over the last 2 years during a period that has seen historic increases in crime, just not only serious crime, but petty crime, clearly the police they're too intimidated to be aggressive. They're spending too much time collecting these positive community engagements that the mayor has been bragging about, you know, having a conversation with somebody, you record it. They actually have set quotas for accumulating positive community interactions when they should be out proactively pursuing individuals who are committing crimes and making arrests. So I think those three things would change the dynamic. And I'm confident with new leadership changes, with a move, with a restoration of proactive policing, and with a move back to community-based policing, that will encourage many of the 2,000-plus officers who are actually eligible to retire and those who might be interested or might be inclined to move to other police, more friendly police districts.
It seems like we talk a lot about the policing, but what can be done to solve the gang issue? I mean, let's face it, for decades, they've dominated neighborhoods that many people avoided, and not enough was done to address the issue. Now it's hard to avoid their crime spree because it's spilling into every part of Chicago, and that needs a resolution. How do you tackle the gang issue in Chicago?
Well, we have to do a couple of things. The first thing we have to do is the things that are articulated in terms of providing the police with the resources and support they need to be effective will help you more effectively combat crime in all of the communities. And when you have like the 11th district, which on some nights has a large number of their beats not even covered, and yet they had 108 murders last year, I mean, that suggests that the resources aren't in the districts, the police districts, to make a difference. But I would do something else, too. Let me just give you one example of something that you would do. I mean, where are the schools? I mean, where are the schools when it comes to school campuses being open 6 days a week, year-round, so that the kids, the young adults, the teenagers in these communities have some place to go? What I would do in the Chicago public schools is something I did during the crime pandemic in the 1990s when we began to turn the tide. And I would keep all the school campuses open through Saturday. They would be open through the dinner hour, just like they were during my tenure. I would not only have academic support programs in the schools for the kids who are struggling, but also enrichment, accelerated sports and recreation. I built 78 school buildings and 125 school campuses and renovated 350 other campuses during my tenure. And I didn't do that for those buildings to be closed, those campuses to be closed half the year. Most of those campuses would be closed over the violent summer months, and for those campuses to shut down at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
We've got 30 seconds left. Can I just ask you about the casino? You believe there's not enough money that will be generated to cover police and fire pensions?
No. I think it's maybe 9%. A better source of money to make up that funding gap would be money from the tax increment financing programs. You could use future TIF revenues to finance the type of pension obligation bonds that would help fill the funding gap. But the casinos, I mean, $200 million, that's 9% of your current annual appropriation for pensions. So it's not going to come anywhere close.
Thank you for joining us. I hope you'll come back because this is never enough time to have a conversation, but we appreciate you jumping on the air with us today on the very day that you announced you're running for mayor.
Well, thank you very much. And anytime, any invitation, I'll be there. And hopefully we'll have a little longer to these issues are never given justice.
Right.
But I'll tell you, this has been these are great questions. And I hope I provided substantive responses.
Absolutely. And next time we'll give you a half hour.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Paul Vallis, he is running to be your mayor of Chicago. News in about the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial, which seems so trivial compared to what is happening in this city. But so far, Amber Heard is $15 million in the hole and counting. They are still reading the verdict, and they just added another $2 million. So we'll have all the details for you coming up. Lauren's got your news next on 720 WGN.
Lisa Dent, WGN.